If you've been involved in our church for any length of time, you'll know that we, and Kevin has just mentioned it, and it's been mentioned before, that we belong to an organization known as the Christian and Missionary Alliance. Our emblem, if you've got that there, guys, put it when it comes up, that's the emblem. Our emblem is characterized with a cross, a chalice, a picture, and a crown, signifying that our purpose of children, as children of God, is to serve Jesus as Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and Coming King. Now, those of you that have been around a while already know that. Our founder, Albert Benjamin Simpson, began the Alliance organization as we know it today in 1887. He came out of the Presbyterian Church, and his passion, along with others in the early movement, was to evangelize the world in order to see Jesus return. I want you to hang on to that thought. We don't often hear much about Jesus returning. And nevertheless, that truth remains something that is certain. It's a biblical truth, and we can have that certain expectation. On one occasion, Simpson was interviewed by a journalist in New York. And I can see Roger and Helen going, yeah, we remember this. They know the story I'm going to tell. No, really? And the journalist said to Simpson, do you know when the Lord is going to return? He said, yes, of course I do, he replied. I'll tell you, this is Simpson talking to the reporter, I will tell you when you promise to quote me and the reference that I give you. So the reporter promised, and he's waiting with his notebook to write down what Simpson says. Simpson simply said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto the nations, and then shall the end come. Matthew 24:14. Have you written the reference? He said. Yes. Anything else? Nothing else, said Simpson. Absolutely nothing else. The reporter lowered his pencil and said, do you mean to say that you believe that when the gospel is preached to all nations, Jesus will return? Simpson said, just that. Just that. I think I see daylight, said the reporter. I see the motivation and the motive power of this movement. To which Simpson replied, I think you see far more than many doctors of divinity. Now, Simpson didn't just give those sorts of interviews to reporters, not to merely exhort himself or the journalist concerning his apocalyptic conviction. Indeed, Simpson made sure that the congregation knew all and knew that reaching those who have not yet heard the gospel was the only thing that was holding back the return of Jesus. Let's briefly look at the context of those words in Matthew 24. The previous chapter, if you and Kevin said today, we're not going to delve into. We want the Lord to speak to us, and so it's not a Bible lesson. But if you look at the chapter 23 previous, Jesus is relating to the people gathered there what we now call the seven woes. All right? Beginning with the religious laws and the regulations practiced and so on. He was talking about religion as opposed to relationship, very briefly. And then he comes into chapter 24 where he's talking to his disciples and they are asking him the question, when are these things going to happen? When is the end going to come? If you look at verse 3 in particular, they're basically saying to him, when will it happen? When will the end come? And what will the signs be? Now, we have all, most of us have read that passage and we've heard sermons on those things that are happening before Jesus returns. We've heard preachers talk about deceptions. We've heard people talk about wars and rumors of wars. We've heard people talk about famines, all those things that precede the return of Jesus. But we tend to gloss over verse 14. We gloss over verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. The very verse that Simpson gave to the journalist. This passage of Scripture became the thrust behind our movement. This and one other verse, which we'll look at as well, became the driving force which caused the early movement, the Christian and Missionary Alliance, to send out thousands of missionaries all over the world to spread the gospel. That was the reason to bring back the king. Why? Because Jesus commanded it in Matthew 28. He says, go into all the world. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. You see, our church comes out of a movement that saw a command to go to Thailand, to wherever it might be, to go. And the incentive wasn't just so that we would feel good. The incentive was to see Jesus return. Two driving forces, to go, to obey Jesus and go, and to see him return, to bring back the king. I want us today to ask ourselves several questions. The first is this: what am I doing to bring back the king? What am I doing to bring back the king? In reality, the question is this: how do I spend my time? Now, some of you are good with money and finances, right? I want you to imagine this is something that you can think about. Imagine this example. If you had a bank that credited your account each morning with $86,400 that carried over no balance from day to day, allowed you to keep no cash in your account, and every morning cancelled out whatever part of that account you had failed to use or spend, what would you do? I know I'd go to the bank every day and I'd draw out all the cash and spend it. Right? Well, you have such a bank. Its name is time. Every morning it credits you with 86,400 seconds. Every night it rules off as lost whatever you have failed to invest for that particular day in good purposes. It carries over no balances, and it allows no overdrafts. And if you fail to use the day's deposit, the loss is yours. There's no going back. There's no drawing against tomorrow. Brothers and sisters, this morning it's up to you and I how the precious seconds of our lives are spent. Is the King coming? You know, the encouraging part of the Lord's command to go and preach the gospel is the end bit. It says, "And surely I am with you even to the very end of the age." I'm always with you. Do you believe that? The Lord is always with us in everything that we do. I'd like to tell you a story about a woman called Ruth. Not the Ruth of the Bible in scriptures, but this woman just had the same name. Ruth went to her letterbox, and unusually, there was one letter in it, and she noticed there was no stamp on it. But she opened the letter anyway, and it read like this. She read the letter, and it said, "Dear Ruth, I'm going to be in your neighborhood today, Saturday afternoon, and I would like to visit you. Love as always, Jesus." Ruth started to shake. She was excited, but still scared. Why would the Lord want to visit me? I'm nobody special. I don't have anything to offer. With that thought, she got even worse. More anxiety set in, and she remembered, "I've got no food in the refrigerator. I've got nothing to give him." And then she looked into her purse and discovered that all she had was $16.35. So she raced off to the grocery, to the supermarket. "I really don't have anything to offer, but I'll buy what I can." Well, she thought, "I can buy some bread. I can buy some milk. I can buy some cold meat, enough for two of us. And perhaps one of those mini packets of tea bags." And so off she went, and she purchased what she needed to get, and she came home, put on a hat and coat, and went to the supermarket, came home, or made her way home with a bag, one plastic bag of items. The purchase left her with 65 cents till next payday. She felt good, though, as she headed home, and she didn't notice. Even though she had meager supplies in her bag, she didn't notice two people in the alleyway dressed in rags. And as she walked along, suddenly a voice cried out, "Hey, lady, can you help us? Can you help us, lady?" Now, Ruth had been so absorbed in her dinner plans, she hadn't even noticed two figures huddled in the alleyway. A man and a woman, both dressed in nothing but rags. "Look, lady, I ain't got a job, you know, and my wife and I have been living here on the street. And, well, now it's getting cold and we're kind of hungry. And, well, if you could help us, we'd really appreciate it." Ruth looked at both of them. They were dirty, smelly, and frankly, she was certain that if they really wanted to, they could find work. "Sir, I'd like to help you, but I'm a poor woman myself. All I have is what's in my bag, bread, milk, and enough cold meat for two people. I'm expecting an important guest for dinner tonight." "Yeah, well, okay, lady, I understand. Thanks anyway." And the man put his arm around the woman's shoulders and turned and headed back into the alleyway. As Ruth watched them leave, she felt a twinge in her heart. "Sir, wait," she said, and she chased after them down the alleyway. the couple had stopped and turned round, and she said, "Look, why don't you take my bag of food, please?" By this time, when she got down the alleyway, the man had gone. And so she's just talking to the lady, and she noticed that the lady was really cold. It was getting very close to winter. It was night, it was late afternoon, and this woman was really, really cold and shivering. So she gave her the bag of food, and the lady said, "Thank you. You know, I've got another coat at home. Here, why don't you have this one?" Ruth took it off and put it round the woman's shoulders, and then smiling, she turned and went on her way home. By the time she got back, Ruth was cold also, really cold and worried. "The Lord is coming to visit, and I don't have anything to give him." And her hands are freezing, and while she's digging in her purse to find the key to the front door, she noticed in her letterbox in the door another letter. How strange, she thought. We don't get two posts on one day. In fact, we're lucky in Australia if we get one every 2 days, but we don't get two posts in one day. That's odd. The mailman doesn't come like that. But she opened the letter anyway. "Dear Ruth, it was good to see you again. Thank you for the lovely meal, and thank you too for the beautiful coat. Love always, Jesus, Jesus." The air was still cold, but even without her coat, Ruth's heart was warming. No longer noticed. "Surely I am with you to the very end of the age." Now here's a question for all of us. When we read Matthew 24:14 regarding the gospel needing to be preached to see the return of Jesus, is the action or the similar action to Ruth, is that part of the preaching of the gospel? Of course it is. Of course it is. Gospel is good news of Jesus Christ and how creation can return to a relationship with their Creator through faith and commitment in Jesus Christ. And so it needs to be communicated, right? Is Ruth's action part of that communication of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Amen. Of course it is. Now, some of you may be sitting here today wondering, how can I share the gospel? You're saying to yourself, "I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I don't have prophetic gifts. And when I pray for a miracle, well, it's still coming, frankly." But you know what? As was mentioned earlier by Vanessa and Renee, we're all part of the body of Christ. Take a look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about the body of Christ. Paul makes it very clear. All the gifts in the church work towards communicating or showing the good news. Good news of Jesus. What's your gift? What's your gift? Do you indeed know what your gift is? I know I didn't for quite a while. Still don't. But if you think you don't have a gift or a special talent, think again. Excuse me. Think again. I want to declare to you here and now this morning that you can be part, everyone in this room can be part of bringing back the King. Talk to anyone that's been on a mission trip like we've just heard. Any one of the team, and SP and Pat will back me up here. They know, the team knows, that not everybody in that team can stand up and speak and preach. Not everyone in that team can teach. Not everyone has the so-called upfront gifts. But they also know, and you can talk to anyone in this team, they also know that every little thing they say and do in the name of Jesus is a step in communicating the gospel and hastening the return of the King. Today we worship in this place. It was once called a manse when it was first built. Some of you remember that. I remember Lillian and a few others laying these tiles down here. No, you weren't there that day. Your sister was. Yeah, okay. It was called a manse, the pastor's home. Where that carpet area is at the back used to be a double garage. And so on and so forth. Now, after John Moy, the founding pastor of the International Church, if you like, went to another work, a couple from the church moved in upstairs, and they lived here. Don used to go out to work, and his wife Joan took on the job of cleaning this place and the old church building up the front there. At this time, we didn't have the other house over the, which is now the admin centre. The cleaning was not just another job for Joan. If you could come into this place and upstairs, and it was spotless. Every single day, it was, you could come in any time, and it would, was spotless. Joan was also at that time, for a short time, a deacon in the church and was also treasurer. And this is not a history lesson, by the way. We have another ex-treasurer here. Con, sitting next to Roger, used to be treasurer of this church in the 70s and 80s. He's fast asleep now. Can't hear me. The reason I'm telling you this is that Joan kept this place spotless. She used every cent to the advantage of the kingdom. She spent 86,400 seconds a day seeing what she could do to bring back the King. She was doing her little bit in serving Christ to spread the gospel to bring back the King. By the way, she was at this stage, she was retired, having been a missionary in Chad. And there's a lot more that I can tell you about Joan. But the point is this. Joan spent every second of every day in the quest to bring back the King. She went to be with the King last year. I like that song, that the last line of the song that we sang, exchange it for a crown someday. Now there's another person I want to mention, and some of you know him. Marilyn and I get a Christmas letter off him every year, and I know Con does. And his name is John Barkman, from Oklahoma. John was an Alliance pastor here before it became an international church in the 70s and 80s, at the same time Con was here then. John is retired now. He's in his 80s. And I guarantee that the Christmas letter that Con gets is the same one we get and anybody else gets. 85% of the letter, which is supposed to tell us all about what he's doing, is sharing the gospel verse by verse. He just never stops. He's in his 80s. He preaches twice a month. He leads two home groups each week and a men's Bible study. And he's in his 80s. John spends every second of his life working to serve Jesus, to spread the gospel, to see the King return. Now, why I've mentioned those two people is because Joan is not a preacher. Joan and John, if you like, were here at the same time. Joan was here. Both have totally different giftings, yet the Bible says that they communicate the gospel and are part of the Great Commission to go. And so, as I said today earlier on, my message is simple. And it's been simple. How do you use your time in communicating the gospel? Are you a preacher? Are you a helper? Are you a prayer warrior? Are you an evangelist, a prophet, a hospital visitor, a teacher, a home group leader, a greeter, a storyteller, a Sunday school teacher, coffee maker, cook, whatever? Let me encourage you today. Whatever your gift or talent is, and you may have more than one, far more than one, will you use it to spread the gospel and bring back the King? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your word, your simple truth. When the gospel is preached to all nations, then the end will come. Father, I long to see that day. I long to see and to be with Jesus. And I pray that that will be on the heart of our people here today. I pray, Lord, that as we all work together as one body, just as the mission team did in Thailand and as we do here, Lord, that as we work as one body doing the things that we need to do, using the gifts that you've given us, Lord, that the gospel will spread, that people will be saved. You will say, well done, good and faithful servant. And one day, as it says in Thessalonians, we'll see you returning on the clouds with the shouts of heaven proclaiming it. Oh Lord, come Lord Jesus, come. Amen.